Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. When I was 5 years old, I remember sitting on a patterned carpet in my parents' living room. Yes, I was there in the 80s. It was an old television with a wooden veneer box. I know that will be very familiar to many of you and a complete mystery to others. I was watching on television the TV illusionist David Copperfield walk through the Great Wall of China. Now, as you probably know, the Great Wall is the only human-made structure that can be viewed from space. This is because it is over 10 meters thick and over 13,000 miles long, apparently. I hope that's not 1,300, because that's quite a big misquote if it is. Could be a typo. To anyone else, especially to a child of five, I knew that this was impossible. And of course, the commentator had a very serious tone and was like, this deadly illusion, will he make it out the other side? That type of thing. So I'm terrified for this man watching it on TV. So I knelt way too close to the screen and I'm holding my breath. I can feel the static off the glass as David's shadow disappeared into the wall. And I remember feeling something like awestruck horror. This is impossible. This shouldn't be possible. I think I might have actually screamed for my mum. If he could walk through a wall this big, could a burglar walk through the incredibly thin walls of our house during the night? My mum came running in to assure me that this was indeed impossible and attempted to explain to a five-year-old what an illusion was. And you can imagine how that went. I played the why game. Yeah. So Jesus, in today's gospel, shows up in a locked room to greet the disciples and give them his peace and forgiveness. I imagine that they jumped out of their skin. Some of them may have even screamed for their mum. They maybe thought it was a ghost before rejoicing and seeing the wounds on his body. Of course, the difference here is that they're was no illusion, because God is more than capable of the things that we deem impossible. However, like a top-notch illusionist, we often have no idea how he did it or what's going on. We shake our heads in disbelief. No, this is not possible. Think of the women fleeing the tomb a few weeks ago, fleeing and telling no one, because who would believe it? Is it crazy to believe in something that cannot be proved? Can you prove that the Holy Spirit is real? Maybe not. You may have had a moment, or maybe if you're lucky, two in your life, where there was something that could not be explained, that moved you to a place of knowing that requires no proof. Those are the Spirit moments. People often imagine that scene on the first Pentecost with the tongues of fire resting on the heads of the disciples and think, if only God could show up with that now, if I could see what they saw, then I would believe. Do you think that if we looked up one night into the sky and the stars had been rearranged to say, hey you, it's me, God, I'm really here for you. Would people instantly believe? Would there be a mass conversion around the world? Actually, don't think so. The stars, the earth, everything that's good is already proof of God's existence. And if something like this was to happen here today, people would instantly begin to find ways to discredit it. A prank with drones in the sky, a military operation to control the minds of the globe. You can just see the newspapers, right? Think of the crowds at Pentecost. Instead of hearing the languages of many being spoke and thinking, wow, this is incredible. What could be going on? Is this a God moment? They just said, no way, man. These guys are drunk. The first disciples understood something that over time we've started to forget. They understood that they did not have to understand everything. Some things are too big. It's not because they weren't smart or clever. It's because they embraced the mystery. And I wonder if in modern society we weren't always trying to discredit or prove things, how that would affect our journey with God. After all, the Holy Spirit wasn't a one-time deal that we just remember on Pentecost. No, we're an Easter people, but we're also a Pentecost people. The Holy Spirit is still working among us. To some, it gives practical gifts. Some are prophets. Think of Greta Steinberg or David Suzuki. Think of the people in your life that you go to when you need advice because they have the gift of wisdom. Paul speaks about the gifts of the Spirit in his letter to the Corinthians. Faith is the first gift, and everything else stems from there. Now, a gift is something that we don't have by our own efforts, but by grace. You know, when you look at someone who's a very talented musician, people don't go, oh gosh, she's so talented, has worked so hard for that, has been playing that for 15 years since he was a child, never went outside, just stayed in the basement playing the violin. No, they say, gosh, what a gift. What a gift. Oh, that person has such a gift for cooking or for welcoming people. There are people here who have that gift. Some people have a gift with words. People have gifts for all kinds of things, but they're not from our own efforts. They just kind of happen, and that's grace. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't educated. He probably wasn't particularly smart. He probably couldn't read. He was a common man who followed Jesus, and yet he spoke to crowds of hundreds eloquently, like a great orator of Rome. Now that's grace. That's the Holy Spirit. Peter didn't have that. We've just watched him be a bumbling idiot for like 30 chapters. So where did the Holy Spirit come from? Well, the short answer is from God, and there's a whole schism around this that you can argue about over soup later. But today we have a passage from John with Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit onto the disciples. So did the Holy Spirit come from John or from God or from Jesus or from just God? Well, people have fought and died over this, and I hope nobody dies over soup later. You can strongly disagree if you like, because we've been doing that for centuries. But I think that's because we believe in a Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And because of that, it actually doesn't matter who sent who, because the Holy Spirit isn't about hierarchy, it's about relationship. Each aspect of God relating to the other, unified. No one's in charge. It's a relationship. And where is that unity reflected? Right here in the church. It takes a diversity of gifts for a community to function and serves God's purpose. And that is what Paul is getting at when he's writing to the Corinthians. That's why Jesus didn't leave the responsibility of spreading the good news to just one person, especially Peter. He left it to all of us. First to 12. 12 plus, I like to say, because we know there were a lot of lasses there helping out. And it spread through many, not just through the work of one. So we need to be looking at where we are as the body of Christ here in this place and seek out the places in our town where injustice is present so that we can use the diversity of gifts that exist here and are so present and vibrant and full of possibility and be unified as a community to serve God and the world that God made and loves. So this week, I encourage you to spend some time dwelling and let the fire of the Holy Spirit come to you. Ask for it to reveal what gifts you could be using right now. And if there's a virtuoso violinist in here that I don't know about, I want to know. Come see me. But seriously, I encourage you to spend some time praying and asking what your part in all this might be. Because as you know, we are discerning and figuring out what our priorities are and where we're going as a community to serve here in Powell River. So may it be so this week for all of you. Amen.